بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders, we start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the most gracious, the most merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the sustainer, the protector, the giver and the taker, the all-hearer, the all-knower of the seven heavens and the seven worlds. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانْ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to be will happen, and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to not be can never happen. اللَّهُمَّ لَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَيْتْ وَلَا مُعْطِيَ لِمَا مَنَعْتْ. O Allah, there is no depriver for the one that you have given, nor can anyone give the one that you have deprived. وَعْلَمْ أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن تنفعك في شيء لن تنفعك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك ولو اجتمعت الأمة على أن يضروك في شيء لن يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. وكما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, that understand, if the entire world was to come together to try and benefit you with something, they will never be able to benefit you except with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted. And if the entire world was to come together to try and harm you, they can never ever harm you with anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not permitted. The pens have lifted and the ink has dried. The qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will happen whether we like it or whether we don't like it, whether we accept it or whether we don't accept it. هو الأول فليس قبله شيء وهو الآخر فليس بعده شيء وهو الظاهر فليس فوقه شيء وهو الباطن فليس دونه شيء. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first, there was none before him. He is the last, there will be none after him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most high. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. He is the most close. He is the all-knowing, the all-hearing, the all-seeing. The mudhakara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to be made every single day. The heart, my dear respected brothers, the heart is a deprived vessel. Wallahi, it is an empty vessel without the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. For this vessel to be complete, for it to be full, it must have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الدُّنْيَا مَلْعُونُ وَمَلْعُونُ مَا فِيهَا إِلَّا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ وَمَا وَلَاهُ. This dunya is cursed and everything is cursed, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Everything in it except the remembrance of Allah, illa dhikrullah, except the remembrance of Allah, the praise of Allah, the glory of Allah, the testification of la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, aw mu'alliman aw muta'allima, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this ummah with a purpose, with a maqsad. It wasn't created haphazardly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create us to fulfill our desires. This was the purpose of the animals. The animals have no choice. They have no intellect, no aql. So they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unconditionally. And they fulfill their desires unconditionally. The malaika, on the other hand, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unconditionally. Unfortunately, they do not have choice. لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever the command is. And they do as they are commanded. Whereas insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a certain fadl for insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ قَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored the son of Adam. Allah has given us a choice and has given us desire. And in between the two is the test of this dunya and the akhirah. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمْلًا. To test us, which of us will do the best of deeds. We have our desire and we have the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Will we submit our desires for that which pleases Allah? Or will we do it the other way around? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The believers are those that when the name of Allah, just the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, it is meant to make the heart tender. The heart should feel soft. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum were known for this. كانوا رهبانا في الليل فراس في النهار. They were monks at night and they were warriors in the day. Umar radiallahu anhu, for all that he was known, his name sent shockwaves through the non-Muslims,
through the emperors of the greatest empires of the time, when they heard the name of Umar, they began to panic. They went into a state of fear and anxiety. Yet Umar radiallahu anhu, when he passed away, 2 T marks were on his face. The Sahaba used to say that when Umar radiallahu anhu used to lead the salat, we couldn't tell what he was reading. Min shiddat al-buka. He sounded like a kettle burning and making noise. This is how much he used to weep, how much he used to cry. They were very soft. As much as they were warriors, as much as they were real men, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed their manhood. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْنٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them and elevated their status in the heavens till the day of Qiyamah. And he said about the Sahaba that from amongst them there are real men, that neither trade, nor children, nor wasteful time distracts them from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, that when His name is mentioned, the heart becomes soft, because it recognizes the oneness of Allah. It recognizes the greatness of Allah. It recognizes the divinity, the majesty, the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above all things. That it's not my family that gives me pleasure. It's not the holiday that makes me happy. It's not my upgrade on the car that makes me happy and content. It's not my wealth. It's not my money. It's not my status. This wasn't the thing that got the Sahaba ecstatic. It was standing up in the night prayers, reading and doing the khatm of the entire Quran in one rak'ah, like Uthman radiallahu anhu used to do. Ali radiallahu anhu would say, لَوُضِعَتْ أَمَامُنَا الْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارِ مَزْدَدْنَا بِهِ يَقِينًا. That if Jannah and Jahannam were put in front of us, our yaqeen wouldn't increase. They were already there. So much dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala they made, so much praise of Allah, so much sacrifice they made for this deen, that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enveloped their heart. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu istajibu lillahi walil rasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum wa'alamu anna Allah yahulu bayna al-mar'i wa qalbih wa annahu ilayhi turja'un. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to us, my dear respected brothers. O you who believe, respond to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and respond to the call of His beloved Rasul when He calls you to that which will make you alive. This deen revives us. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purifies the heart. It wipes away all hardness, all harshness in the heart. And understand, wa'alamu, and understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revolves around the heart of the believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revolves around the heart. Allah knows what's in our heart. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. He knows the trickery of the eye and what the heart conceals. No one can deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can betray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sees all. He's in control. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we created you. We created you. And we know what is inside your chest. And we are closer to you than your own jugular vein. Such is Allah. And when the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are brought forward and mentioned in front of the believers, this must increase our yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This must increase our trust in Him, our belief in Him, our love in Him. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who are true believers, those who truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are the ones who truly love Allah. They are the ones who love Him. And what is the proof of this love? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Now if you claim to love Allah, you want to know if you're the ones who love Him? He says, if you claim to love me, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they truly claim to love Allah, if they say they love me, and they want Jannah, and they want Maghfirah, and they want all this, then let them follow your sunnah. Let them follow your way, and I will love them. لو سلكوا علي كل طريق واستفتحوا علي كل باب لن أفتح عليهم حتى يأتوا خلفك يا محمد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making it very, very clear. If we come to Allah from any path, from any door, doesn't matter what our intellect tells us is the way of Rasulullah or will get us closer to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very, very clear. Nothing will be accepted unless it comes from that which is behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And mashallah, today in the bayan that Maulana Qahtani gave, he spoke so much about the beloved qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he finished off with a beautiful, beautiful hadith by saying that every one of this ummah will enter Jannah. كُلُّ أُمَّةِ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. It is a blanket statement that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam claimed. We will all enter Jannah. إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى. Except for the one who refused. قِلَ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Who will refuse to enter Jannah? Who in their right mind will refuse to enter this eternal place of happiness and bliss where there is that which no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no heart has felt, where all your desires are fulfilled? لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ وَلَدَيْنَ مَزِيدٍ. In it there is that which their heart desires, whatever they want, and we will increase for them on a daily basis. Who will refuse this place, Ya Rasulullah? قَالَ مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Simple. See, the Prophets, عليهم السلام, when they spoke with simplicity. They were not philosophers. They were not academics. They were not historians. Their speech was simple. The Prophet ﷺ would say, الْخَيْرُ الْكَلَامِ مَا قَلْ وَدَلْ. The best of speech is that which was short but direct. So they spoke in simple words, but with heavy, heavy weight and so much sacrifice behind them. So he said, whoever obeyed me, entered Jannah. وَمَنْ عَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. But whoever disobeys me, then he has refused. It's simple as that. Our success, my dear respected brothers, and our family's success, and our children, and our neighbors, and our communities, and the entire world, our success and their success can only be attained in following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This message, my brothers, might seem like it has been parroted so many times. We might be numb to it because we've heard it so many. Of course, following the sunnah, this is where success is. Of course, there's many verses in the Quran, many ahadith, so many ulama here, they can teach us this. But yet, why do we find ourselves and the majority of the ummah struggling to follow upon this? Why is this the case? The simple reality is because we forget. We forget. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Remind, for verily the reminder benefits the believer. It is a must that we believe. We can have no doubt in our hearts, my dear respected brothers, that whatever reminder we give must have a benefit to the believer that is listening. تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It benefits the believers. Whether we can see that benefit or not, whether we see a change in that person's character or not, we must have yaqeen in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that change to have an effect. Subhanallah, there was one brother, a friend of ours now. He's an Australian, Aussie born, white skin, blue eyes, blonde hair. He fits the description to the T. This brother lived about 7 hours outside of Sydney. So we're from Sydney. He lived about 7 hours inland, rural, in a country town called Orange. Now this country town had no Muslims in it other than the students who came to the university there. And this brother, when he accepted Islam, I befriended him. And I asked him, I said to him, look, what led you to Islam? Very curious to know. In his very early days, about within a couple of months of him converting or reverting. So he said it was the Muslim women. It was the Muslim women that led me to accept Islam. So I thought, okay, maybe he's working with a Muslim woman somewhere, or there's been some sort of an interaction. I said, okay, all right, well, so elaborate a little bit further. What do you mean a Muslim woman converted you to Islam? He said, no, I didn't speak to any of them. He said, but just seeing the Muslim woman covered in modesty is what eventually led me to accept Islam. I said, how so? He said, I have a girlfriend. So he was talking about himself, not me. This is the brother. He said, I had a girlfriend. He said, now in our culture, it's very customary that when you enter into a gathering, that you shake hands, you hug, and you kiss on the cheeks. This is the Australian Western culture. And I'm pretty sure it might be here in Africa also amongst the non-Muslim communities. I know it's in America like that too, and so forth. So it's customary among them. He said, but in my heart, I have so much jealousy over my girlfriend that whenever my friends come and hug her and they kiss her, I get very, very angry. But I can't say anything. I find my tongue tired that I can't say anything to them because I do the same with their families. He said, whenever I would see a Muslim woman walking past covered, or I see them on the TV, he said, in my heart, I knew that the Muslims got this one right. They might be wrong with everything else, and you know, the extreme and fundamental and whatnot, but in this case, when it comes to their women, they got it spot on. He said, so this led me to inquire more about the religion later on in my life. He said, and one day I interacted with one of the brothers who's also a friend of ours, and he gave me that last push. Eventually, this brother accepted Islam, alhamdulillah. Within a few months, he worked on his girlfriend. She also accepted Islam. And then they agreed to go do the nikah through a sheikh, alhamdulillah, one of the ulama in Sydney. They got married. And later that year, they went to Hajj. Changed their life. She came back. She was in complete niqab, in the burqa. And he was in the jubbah after that. SubhanAllah, this brother and his wife made so many sacrifices. Their parents completely exiled them from the house. They kicked them out, disowned them. They wanted to have nothing to do with them. So for a while they were on their own. But they still lived in this remote town called Orange. And there was no masjid there. But this brother joined the jama'at, started going in khuruj, and his fikr was activated. So he banded with some of the Muslims from the universities and said, look, I'm going to open my garage as a musalla for you guys to pray in. And we'll start like this and we can do Jum'ah and whatever namaz that we can make. So they began this. After about 6 months to 8 months, the numbers started to grow more and more. There was no longer space to fit them in that garage. Around the same time, the church up the road went up for sale. They approached the priest and they said, look, what's the story here? Why are you selling the church? He said, because unfortunately the Christians are not interested in Christianity anymore. And there are no customers in the house, house of God. So I might as well sell it. So they said, look, we're interested in buying it. Would you sell it to us, to the Muslims? He said, I'll sell it to you, but under one condition. They said, yes. He said, you must wait. He said, if I sell it to you now, from my understanding, you have 5 daily prayers. They said, yes. He said, if I sell it to you now, the council will never approve your prayers there because they've only allowed one prayer, which is on Sunday. He said, you Muslims, if you want to get this approval, they will never give this approval to you. Let me speak to them. I have a few connects within the council and I will make the necessary arrangements to get the approval for you. And then I will sell it to you once that approval comes in. So the priest went and spoke to the council, and the council agreed to give the approval after some time, but with one condition. That condition was is that they needed more car spots to fit the cars. Now the only house available, the only option for them was to buy the house next door. That house next door was owned by another Aussie woman. When they approached this Aussie woman to purchase the property from her, she turned out to be a racist, very, very racist. She was a redneck, and she said, so long as I'm alive, I will never, ever sell this property to you Muslims, and I hope you never get the approval for this church, and I will do whatever I can to try and cancel this for you. So, the brothers got together and they thought, SubhanAllah, what are we going to do? We're in a dilemma here. So they offered her double the amount. They said, we'll give you double the amount that you are asking, that your house is worth. She said no, she refused. And she said, don't come back to me. So they got together, they made mashura, what do we do? So they decided, look, there's no other option. Let's get together. We'll do i'tikaf in the musalla for 2 weeks. And we'll fast every day and get up in tahajjud every night and we'll beg Allah together. Asa wa ala, inshaAllah, eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept and will make the situation easy. So they did this. First day, second day, third day. On the seventh day, They receive news that the lady has passed away. I shouldn't be laughing. Allah have given her hidayah, but this is the decision of Allah. And no, they did not do anything to her. They did not poison her. They had nothing to do with it other than their dua. I asked the brothers this question. They said, wallahi, we just asked Allah for tawfiq and for faraj. So subhanAllah, her children inherited the house, but her children lived in far cities. And this is customary in Australia, that as soon as a child becomes 18 or becomes a baligh and they're an adult, they disappear from their parents. And they go to different states and different countries. It's very common. So their parents, the children had no interest in the house. But they were aware that these neighbors, that the Muslims, wanted that house. So they came and they offered the house to them at a slightly discounted price than what it was worth, to take it before it goes to market. So they jumped on it and they purchased this property, converted it into a car park, and by the tawfiq of Allah, the council gave them the approval. So alhamdulillah, today, since that time, this was about maybe 6 years ago or 7 years ago, till today, that masjid stands there now. Many, many jama'at have gone and come. Many have stayed there from Pakistan, from India, from Bangladesh. Not sure if South African brothers have stayed there, but that place, the country is called Orange. So if anyone here has been to Orange, this is the backstory that you may or may not have heard about this. MashaAllah, this brother and his family eventually moved out of Sydney. They ended up migrating to one of the Muslim lands. Now they did hijrah, and now they're studying Sharia and studying ilm, and they're teaching their kids. This is the benefit and the fadl of a reminder. The sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the means that led them to this hidayah. Just say that the sunnah of a woman being covered in modesty was what triggered that fikr in this brother's heart. Look at the eventual ending of where they got. So much khair comes out. We don't know. We don't know what word we say. We don't know what sunnah we practice. Once we were in England, in 2018, we were in England. And the satis, they were giving us a karkozari of what happened in front of their masjid. They said that one day a jama'ah was leaving their masjid. They were going for gasht. So they walked out of the masjid. They got to the corner and one of the satis wanted to drink water. So he crouched in the sunnah position and he did the three sips. The first one, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Bismillah, three times. And then he stood up. Said a man ran from across the road, came to him and he said to him, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean? He said, why were you drinking like that? He said, because this is a part of our deen, part of our sunnah. He said, what sunnah? What is it? What are you talking about? He said, our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, 14 centuries ago, taught us that the best way to drink is in this position. This man turned out to be one of the head coaches for one of the national league players, the soccer clubs, very, very high up. He said, the recent scientific study has just been released. We've just received it from a seminar to show that the healthiest way for a sportsman, for a player on the field who's played, you know, usually on halftime, they have drinks and whatnot. He said that the healthiest way to avoid heart attacks during a game is to crouch in that exact same position and drink in sips of three. He said, it's impossible that your prophet could have known this 14 centuries ago if he wasn't a true prophet and if he wasn't the word of God. And he took the shahada there and there and he accepted Islam. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my dear respected brothers, wallahi has more effect than our words. You don't need to be a scholar for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to use you for the hidayah of someone. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to utilize you. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. Allah is not... إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى صُوَرِكُمْ وَلَا إِلَى أَمْوَالِكُمْ إِنَّمَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Allah is not interested in how you look. Tall, short, black, white, colored. All this means nothing to Allah. He's the one who created us. He's the one who shaped us. He perfected us. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah, He's created us and He perfected our design. Doesn't get your money, how much you have, means nothing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who was Bilal radiallahu anhu before Islam? Who was he? He was of the lowest class of slaves. The lowest class of slaves. Even his mother's name was unknown. The lowest. Some of the most extreme tortures he went through. other than the rock being placed on his chest on the burning sand. In the night times, they would take turns in whipping him. Take turns in whipping him. They had no care for him. No ridicule, mockery. Yet who was he by the time that his soul came out? Radiallahu anhu. He was the mu'adhin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine that? That you are the person that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks at you and tells you, arihna biha. He looks you in the eyes and he tells you, arihna biha ya Bilal. Bring comfort to our hearts through the adhan, ya Bilal, so that we can get up and pray. Imagine this status. Ya Bilal, what is it that you are doing that I can hear your footsteps in front of me in Jannah? How does this izz come? Where does it come from? يُعِزُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُذِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. In the beginning of the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Jahl was the chief. Abu Jahl had the honor in amongst Quraysh. By the end of it, he was the disgraced one. With the companion's knee on his chest. It took two young companions to chop him down. Who gives honor and who takes honor? It is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mudhakara that we need to keep making. Wallahi, first for ourselves, then for our families, and then for the entire ummah. Make the mudhakara of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will make your voice travel to the farthest corners of the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so long as we are sincere. If we are sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use us. And wallahi, even if we are insincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may still use you, but you will not get the thawab for it. And I say this with a bit of shame, because after one jama'ah in 2018, we were traveling back from England, from UK. And we had a 2-day stopover in one of the Arab countries. SubhanAllah, when we left Australia, they took us in for interrogation. And they asked us, what is the purpose of your departure? They knew. They know where we're going. You know, the hidayat is obviously, you be honest with them. Don't try to be shady. Don't give them some fancy story. Don't try to outsmart them. They know before you've entered the airport. So they started asking us, where are you going? And for what purpose? And do you read this particular book? And which masjid do you pray in? In the end, they knew. But they still gave us the go-ahead. They said, you know, continue on with your journey and we'll see you back upon your return. We get to England. It was a 28-hour journey. Very, very difficult travel. But alhamdulillah, tawfiq of Allah, we got there. When we got to the airport and got to the customs, wallahi, she looked at me, the customs lady that stamps the passport, she looked at me and the very first thing she asked me, she goes, oh, are you here for tabligh? As you know, tabligh like that, that's an Aussie way of saying it. No, you're here for tabligh. Yeah, in the UK accent. And I looked at her, I'm like, these guys actually not. I said, yes, we are. She stamped the passport and she said, we wish you all the best. I wish you all the best. Very welcoming. We finished our time. And as I said, we had a 2-day stopover in Abu Dhabi, a Muslim country. We went at A380, maybe 500-600 people in the plane. We exit the plane, we're about 6 or 7 satis at the time. SubhanAllah, from the entire plane, we were the only satis that were pulled out and we were made to sit on the floor in front of everyone in humiliation. They made some of us put our hands on the wall. So we had about 4 satis that were over the age of 65. It was just a very humiliating experience. That in our hearts, we thought to ourselves, SubhanAllah, we leave the non-Muslim lands and we enter the non-Muslim lands and we are exited with welcomes and with well wishes and we are welcomed into the lands with well wishes. And yet when we enter the Muslim lands, the very first interaction that we had was unfortunately a humiliating experience. But of course it's all part of the system of Allah. Allah plots and plans and He is the greatest of planners. SubhanAllah, they kept us there for almost 6 hours, sitting on the floor, and they interrogated us one by one. Asked us ridiculous questions, why are you in our country? Check the passports, why have you been to Pakistan? Why have you been to Saudi? Why have you been to this country? Why have you... Allahu A'lam what the real intention is. But in the end, they said to us and made it clear, we don't want you people in our country. We don't want you in our country. And we want to keep you here in the airport for the next 2 days until your flight is ready. Our intention was we finished the time in Jama'ah, Wapsi was done, we'll go into Abu Dhabi and maybe we'll go and tour a bit for the sake of Allah and just have a look at the beautiful mosques there and whatnot. SubhanAllah, Allah decreed otherwise. He didn't want that to be the only intention that we entered there. So eventually they released us. Our Amir said that no, unless you book us a flight in the next hour, we are not staying in the airport. You have no reason to detain us. This is ridiculous. And we have some elderly brothers with us. So eventually they allowed us to exit. By the time we got to the hotel that we were staying in, SubhanAllah, the brothers in our Jama'ah, the Satis, were very, very tired. Very long journey, very long trip. We had left, to the airport the morning, the day before. And it was around just after midday the following day. So they were very, very tired, lack of sleep and fatigue. So we got to the reception area, and then as we're sitting there trying to organize our belongings and organize our accommodation, we hear a brother from behind us come and say, "Assalamu alaikum ayya jama'ah." So SubhanAllah, we turn around and we see a brother with a beaming smile on his face. He rushes up to us and he hugs us. He says, "Ayya jama'ah?" We say, "Yes, why you ask?" He said, "By Allah," he said, "you're the first jama'ah to enter this country in 2 years." He said, "It's been 2 years they have not allowed jama'ah to do work in this country." He said, "And I'm from England, from an area called Enfield." We said, "SubhanAllah, we were in about three, four weeks prior to that, we were in that area." And we said, "Do you know so-and-so?" He said, "Yes, that is my father." So, "Hajid, your father gave us nusra there and he helped the jama'ah and it was beautiful and everything." And then he began to cry. He began to cry and really, really appreciate that we were there. He said, "Wallahi," he said, "my heart has been so sad." He said, "I haven't been home in 2 years. I work here." He said, "I'm stuck here with my job. And in my heart, I've been craving to meet a jama'ah. I've been asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for a jama'ah to come." He said, "Just so I can spend time, because I grew up around jama'ah. I grew up spending time, going, giving nusrah to jama'ah." He said, "And in this country, when tabligh is not allowed, and jama'at unallowed, and they're very strict, and very hard," and he wasn't happy there. So SubhanAllah, he made the niyyah to spend that extra 2 days with us. And alhamdulillah, just like his father, he made sure that we had no time to rest. He kept us in Gasht, doing visits to Muslims. It was all hush-hush, so everything was in secret. But SubhanAllah, Allah took so much work from us in that visit. Many, many brothers made niyyah, made intention to spend time. Some of them were from Pakistan, working as taxi drivers or working in the restaurants. Some of them Bangladeshi brothers. Some of them Filipino Muslims. Wallahi, it was a big lesson for us. It was a big lesson for us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to use you, even if your intention is not to be used, your intention is something else, but your initial intention is to be used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will take that work from you. Wallahi, He will take that work from you. So my dear respected brothers, wallahi, this work is azim. This work has changed the lives of millions of people around the world. You know, when the Arabs, they say, we're from an Arab background. I come from a Lebanese background. My parents migrated from Lebanon. And many people say, "Mashallah, the Arab. Arab from Sham, it's a Mubarak place." And it is Mubarak. The Prophet ﷺ himself has blessed Sham. And they say, "You were the children of Sahaba." But wallahi, the sad, unfortunate reality is this, my brothers. That if there's no fikr in the heart, if there is no concern for deen, you could be from the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This will not benefit you. If you're from the lineage of Rasulullah, you're from Ahl al-Bayt, but you don't have fikr of deen for yourself or your family, wallahi, you could end up worse than the non-Muslims in your dealings, in your character, in your actions and so forth. Our parents migrated in the 50s and the 60s to Australia. They didn't migrate with the concern of how they can establish maktabs, they can establish dar ulooms and madaris like mashallah you have here. They migrated for a better life, a better future, economic success, business. Lebanon was war-torn at the time. So much civil war, so much conflict, that they couldn't bear it anymore. So they came to Australia with this intention, a better life, a better materialistic life. And they will admit this. They're not shy to admit this. They will say, this was the reason why we came. And subhanAllah, as the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ جَدَّ وَجَدْ, who seeks will find. Whatever you seek, you will find. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَلِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى فَمَنْ كَانَ هِجْرَتُهُ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ امْرَأَةٍ يَنْكِحُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا صَابَ إِلَيْهِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Allah judges us by our intentions. If our intention is Allah and His Prophet, Allah will give us this. And we have seen this in so many different examples, so many different countries. And if your intention is for dunya, Allah says, He'll give this to you. And He'll give you according to example. Allah gave our parents dunya. All of our parents now, they own homes. All are well off. Businesses. MashaAllah, Allah gave them. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the barakah out of this. And now you look at the first generation. The first generation of Arab Muslims that went to Australia. Till today, they run some of the most organized crime in Sydney. And they are the means, they are the greatest means of killing each other on the streets, unfortunately. They have some of the highest criminal records. And anything and everything under the sun, they are doing it. Parents' concern was not dunya. Parents' concern was how they can educate the kids to become successful lawyers, businessmen, accountant, and so forth. Some did become like this. But not very many turned to deen. Not very many turned to their prayers. And now, their children's children, or their children, are slowly, slowly leaving Islam. They've forgotten the Arabic language. They've forgotten the sunnah. The sunnah is still ridiculed in so many places. The condition isn't like what you see here, my dear respected brothers. Alhamdulillah, here in South Africa, Allah has blessed the people here, has blessed you with the efforts of your forefathers. Your forefathers that came here came with a lot of concern, came with the concern of reviving deen, of establishing deen here. Even if there was the thought of a better lifestyle, but there was also the thought of deen. And because they came with this fikr, today, mashallah, so many dar ulooms that exist in this country, so many maktab systems that, wallahi, words cannot explain the positive envy that I have when I see what you brothers have established here in this country. We go back home, wallahi, just to spend 40 days. Now, I've had many people ask us, how long are you here in Jamaat? I feel shy to say 40 days. Wallahi, I do. I feel shy. It's been maybe 6-7 years I've been making intention to spend 4 months every year. But Allah hasn't given me this tawfiq. In my entire family and generation back at home, yani I myself am the only one from my family and my lineage that does this work. They haven't accepted it yet amongst the Arab community. It's still seen as something which is strange. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is still seen as strange to a lot of the Arabs in our country. This is how far, unfortunately, they have gone. This is how far the ummah has deteriorated in these countries. So we cannot rest and say the job is done, because alhamdulillah here we have so much dar ulooms, we have so much, our families are on deen, our children are ulama, our children are hafaz. We cannot become complacent, my brothers. There are so many Muslims around the world that wallahi are still in dire need of this mudhakara. They're still in dire need of this remembrance. Wallahi, it's not just here, it's not just in Australia. In your own backyard, I met a brother in 2016 in Raywan Markaz. I used to love going around and doing ikhtilat and mixing with the different brothers from different countries and hear their backstory. I love to know what the backstory was, how they got there, how they spent time in the path of Allah, who tashkil them and whatnot. So I sat with this particular brother. He looked like he was from Africa. So I sat down with him, spoke to him, asked him his name, where he's from. He gave me his name. I don't remember his name, but I remember he said he's from Zambia. So he came from Zambia. I said to him, so, you know, who tashkiled you? I said, how did you get here? He said, a woman. I thought, ajib, a woman tashkil you to come here? He said, yes. I said, how long for? He said, I've come to do ilm. I said, you've come to do ilm? Here in, it was in Pakistan. I said, in Pakistan, you come here to seek ilm? I go, and a woman tashkil you? He goes, yeah. I said, what, your mother, your auntie, your sister? He said, no. He goes, it was an American Christian woman. Here I was beyond confused. I said, an American Christian woman came to Zambia and tashkiled you to come to Pakistan to do ilm. I said, please explain, because I have more questions now. So he said, in our village there is maybe 30, 40,000 Muslims. They live in a rural village. He said, inshallah I'll try to finish on time. He said, we live in a rural village. He said, one day an American woman showed up in our village and introduced herself as a Christian missionary. And she began to make effort amongst our people. He said, at the beginning our elders didn't say much. They let her continue her work because she was by herself. And she could barely understand our language anyway, our dialect and so forth. So we left her. He said, after 2 months, she found very minimal success. So she left. And our elders said, Alhamdulillah. Yani this is sorted. And it was all Muslims. This village is all Muslims. He said, after 3 or 4 months, she returned. He said, but this time she returned and she was bold. He said, she returned and she was bold and she could speak the language now. So this shocked our people. But we left her anyway. We still didn't understand fully what her full agenda was. He said, but then she began to work on our people. And she began to communicate in our language. He said, we came to realize that she went back to the main city and enrolled in one of the schools to learn our language in 4 months. He said, she was that dedicated, she came back. He said, within 6 months, more than 5,000 people had converted to Christianity. He said, because of this, our elders formed together and they organized some youngsters to go, because we didn't have ulama in our village and we didn't have anyone to counter her arguments. So they sent us off to study. And this is the reason why he was there. This, my dear respected brothers, is happening in your own backyard. So wallahi, again, I say this again. Allah is not in need of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, wallahu huwa al-ghaniyul hamid. You are the poor ones to Allah. You are in the ones in need. We are the ones in need. Whatever we have from knowledge, from khair, from good, is all from Allah. It is all from Him. All khair is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All good is from Him. Whatever He has given us, we must appreciate. And we must fulfill the rights of this. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. And if Allah wants, He will replace you and bring another creation, another people. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ. And this is not hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. So my brothers, I put this takaza out to you, wallahi. First and foremost, I'm going to be a little bit selfish for Australia. Okay? Only because that is my home country now. And I see what is happening to the Muslims there. Alhamdulillah, there is khair that has happened. Many jama'at have come and they have made, and they have, Allah has used this jama'at to slowly, slowly change the ahwal of the people there so that we don't completely lose deen. But we are still very, very far. We are like 50 years away from where South Africa is today. And so long as we are 50 years behind you, your job is not complete. There's still so much work for you brothers to do, to come and to tashkil and to targhib and to educate us and to give these mudhakarat that will uplift the spirits of the Muslims there inshaAllah, because they get affected. Our brothers gave this request, this personal takaza, they gave it to us when we come here. They said, request more South African jama'at to come. Because for some reason they have slowed down. They used to come a lot more back 10 years ago. We used to get a lot more jama'at. But now it's slowed down. So we've come here, maybe you have forgotten about us. Maybe we aren't making enough dua. So we come back to humbly request you form your jama'at, especially Masturat jama'at. We are in dire need of Masturat jama'at so that this effort remains strong and our families continue to support us and we can start spending more time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here's where inshaAllah. Stand up and give your intention inshaAllah. The request inshaAllah is for 4 months. Brothers inshaAllah.
Brother has made tashkil for 4 months foreign. So normally we start with IPB, but since he started 4 months foreign, inshallah, 4 months foreign. Those who have spent 4 months in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, make intention for 4 months foreign. Dr. Siddiq, Maulana Ahmad Rida. If you can give a date also one time, it's easy. Khalid, Maulana Ghulam Hussein. Inshallah, come my dear brothers. 4 months foreign, there is the sacrifice of time and there is a sacrifice of money also. Increased expenditure. So I'll say those who cannot spend their money, they won't be able to give their life. And Sahaba, the ultimate, or you say what came in them first after Iman, was the desire to give their life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until that doesn't come, deen can't come alive. See, Ahmad Isa, 4 months foreign, Allah accept inshallah. Any date in mind? Put the date so we can make the nikah. See? Ahmad Isa, any date? Or what, Dr. Siddiq will decide the date inshallah. Very good. Spingo Jamaat, already two from Spingo. They make a Jamaat from Spingo Hills. Who else? 4 months foreign. Huh? Oh, sorry, three. He's our. He got two passports at the moment. But three from Spingo. Spingo can make their own Jamaat, inshallah. Who else? 4 months foreign. Make the intention. The need of a believer is better than his action. Come, my dear brothers, inshallah. One Jamaat is there at the moment. See, it's a cheap bargain. Now we were Peter Marisburg last weekend, Masturat. So we went to one masjid. So I met one youngster outside. I asked him his name. I asked him, what's his father's name? So his father is one of the brothers that are gone now to Australia. So I asked him that, like, are you missing your father? He said, yes. So I asked him, sometimes you cry for your father? He said, yes. And your mother, does she cry? She said, she also cries. So I said, all those tears are going into the foundation of deen. That Jamaat that went to Canada for 4 months, came back after 9 months. Haji Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, in that Jamaat, he made when the Jummah Salah, most places there was no Jummah. And where there was Jummah, it was on a Sunday. Haji Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, by Padia, used to make fikr for Jummah. Whole week, he used to make, go for Gash, they used to hire a venue and make Jummah Salah. So one of the brothers was in that Jamaat. So I met one of his sons. Now he's in his late 60s. At that time, he was 3 years old. When his father went, he was 3 years old. The eldest brother was about 11 years old or something. So just imagine that 3-year-old boy when he used to cry for his father. He didn't know why his father was gone. He couldn't understand. But every Jummah Salah that is taking place in Canada is going into his account because he shed tears for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a cheap bargain, my dear brothers. He wasn't there. He never understood also. But because that family gave the qurbani, that they separated, that all those brothers that went, all their children got a share in the Jummah Salah of Canada. How merciful and how graceful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come, my dear brothers. Come. Great intention. 4 months foreign. Dawood Bhai. 4 months foreign, inshallah. Who else? We spent 4 months IPB. The other 4 months is pedal. And at least once in our lifetime, 4 months foreign. Come, my dear brothers. Farooq, make the niyat. Make the niyat, inshallah. See, come, my dear brothers. Who's that? Huh? Ali, mashallah. Allah accept, inshallah. All those brothers who made niyat for 4 months foreign, stand up. One step towards Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah takes 10 steps towards us. Just steps. Allah will make that other step and the flight easy. You go to one side, inshallah. Go near the door there. Dr. Ashraf will sit with them, inshallah. Come, my dear brothers. Just these few steps, Allah will open the way. We're taking one step, Allah will make us reach 11 steps. We won't reach where we walk. We will reach where Allah takes us. So now, those brothers who haven't been for 4 months, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, let's make intention for that, inshallah. Come, my dear brothers. Those who haven't been, make the niyat. Adamji, stand up, inshallah. What's your name? Ahmad Mullah. How is Ahmadullah? Mawlana Abdul Hakim. Who else? Come. Whatever is required to go, if Allah accepts us, Allah will help us make the arrangements. Allah will give us the arrangements. Who else? First 4 months, inshallah. 4 months. Only 4 months. Bahruddin. 4 months. Allah accept, inshallah. Who else? Where's Mawlana Shaban? Where's Mawlana Shaban? What's your name? Isa from? Ulanzi. Ulanzi, mashallah. Allah accept. Allah make it easy. Abdul Wahab, you outperform us at the moment, isn't it? Running, mashallah. Who else? Ibrahim Ali, wrote his name. How many times? Gave him, mashallah. See. Where is that? Who else? One Jamaat is ready to leave now. Your visa came? Not yet. Ibrahim, Hafiz Ibrahim. Just said 4 months. Allah accept, inshallah. Who else? Some takhrib. Let him say something.
My brothers, subhanAllah, one of the elders once mentioned to me, he said to me that, he said, every day we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah on sirat al-mustaqim. 17 times a day we say, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. He said, what is sirat al-mustaqim? To be guided on that straight path, to take you where? He said, to Jannah. Jannah is that which there is things in it that Allah has created that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has felt. He said, do you really believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you all of this? He can resurrect you after death and hold you for account for 50,000 years and then give you an eternal abode in such a place, but He cannot look after your affairs for 4 months? Is it impossible for Allah? Because you have a business? Because you have wife and kids? Does this make it more difficult for Allah? He said, you must put yourself forward to see the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happen in front of you. To see the nusra of Allah, you must make that sacrifice. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. When you make that sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you in all ways. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the path. Whatever we sacrifice, وَمَا تُنْفِكُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Whatever you give for the sake of Allah, تَجِدُوهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا. You will find that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is far better and far, far more rewarding. So my brothers, stand up and give your niyyah inshaAllah. As the Shaykh said, your intention is greater than the action in the eyes of Allah. نِيَّةُ الْمُؤْمِنْ خَيْرٌ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ. So inshaAllah, stand up and give your niyyah and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it, no one can stop it from happening inshaAllah. So give your niyyah inshaAllah. Stand up and give your intention, especially the youngsters. We want to see more from the youngsters in the back that are trying to hide over there. Inshallah. Come on, Hussein. Yalla, I can see your head. Bismillah. Encourage the brothers in the back. Come on, the youth. We want the youth. Where are they? I'm sure everyone's youthful here, mashallah.
Jamaat from Australia, all spend 4 months. Make niyat, inshallah. Stand up. Stand up.
Give your intention, inshallah.
Farooq bhai, mashallah, 4 months.
لَغَدْوَةٌ أَوْ رَوْحَةٌ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. A morning or an evening spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more dearer to Allah than this dunya and everything that is in it. More dearer to Allah than anything that it contains. A morning or an evening.
40 days. What's your name? Oh. Ahmed Musa. Muhammad Musa.
Brother over there, mashallah.
You know more in Pretoria, eh?
When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sent out the army of Usama, he followed them out for a short while. So one of the companions said to him, "Oh Abu Bakr, oh Khalifa to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," he said, "take my horse and ride on it, you don't have to walk." He said, "No, by Allah, I heard my beloved companion Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that the dust that comes on the feet on the one who's in the path of Allah, the fire of Jahannam has been forbidden from touching it." So much virtues in spending time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Abdul Rashid from Sherwood, mashallah. All
come on, my brothers.
For Chilla. All the brothers gave their name for 4 months, IPB, first time. We can stand up, inshallah, and we go to one side. One step towards Allah, Allah ta'ala takes 10 steps towards us. Come, my dear brothers. And we're walking, just we are walking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jamaat for Chilla. 48 Jamaats. 2 weeks' time is our Jor. Jamaats from the Jor, inshallah. Our elders are coming. Then our December Jamaats. Who makes intention? Jamaats for Chilla. Only Ibrahim Sahib. 40 days. December. Mus'ab. Mus'ab is from? Sydney. Which masjid? Al-Bayan. Who else? 40 days Jamaat. His office in Namul Hassan.
Is it? Can I still give another Karkuzan? Is it today?
Just another quick Karkuzari that I wish to share with the brothers, just to highlight the need for Jamaat around the world. This happened in Australia, but I know that this is happening in other countries, especially with the youth. My brothers, the youth around the world are struggling, wallahi, more than ever. They really are struggling in so many different ways, especially with drugs. Now, there was one particular sati from our masjid. He's a worker with us, and he had a cousin. One day he asked us, this is about 2 years ago, to go a year and a half ago. He asked us to go visit him because he's giving a lot of problems to his parents, and his father and mother are divorced, and his father's not on the right path, not on deen and whatnot, and he's not listening to anyone. So he asked us to go and visit him. We went, and alhamdulillah, we visited him. And he took a liking to us, to the Jama'ah. And he allowed us to come back on another day. So for the following 6 months, we kept on visiting him, maybe once every month, once every 2 months like this. Slowly, slowly he softened, and he started coming back to the masjid. Alhamdulillah, by the tawfiq of Allah, he started to make changes in his life. He started to pray. He started to, you know, grow his beard, grow sunnah. And like this, he was struggling. He didn't really... We tashkiled him many times to spend 3 days with us. But he, every time he made the niyyah, he never... There was always an excuse why he couldn't come out. He said, I'll come later, work. This happened, that happened. For a year, an entire year, every month we went for 3 days. We called him up or we visited him. And we made his tashkil. And for an entire year, he kept procrastinating. I will come, I will do... One day, when this happens, when that, but he loved us. He would never refuse us entry to his house, and he would always do our ikram and so forth. And alhamdulillah, he made a big change in his life. But he was troubled. A lot of demons, bad influence. Like this is the situation in Sydney. And his father wasn't there in his life. He was also locked up and so forth. He got tested with some tests in his life, and he felt very, very down. He really, really got down in life. So we went and visited him again. His cousin urged us to go visit him again because he's in a very low state in his life. So we went and visited him, and we could see that he was uneasy, he was depressed, he was sad because of what ahwal was happening in his life. Things weren't working out. So we gave him nasiha. We said, look, you need to leave this environment. You need to do hijrah. Get out of this town, because around here there's too much access to things that are making your life worse. The influence of your old friends, the influence of things that you're addicted to. You need to live here. So he made intention. He said, inshallah, I'm going to take your word and I'm going to migrate. He was thinking of migrating to Yemen, around a certain area that had a lot of pious people, or he was thinking of going Sham. But he made the niyyah to migrate. A week later, this happened 1 week before we came out in Jamaat, we received news that he's overdosed. He's overdosed and he's collapsed in front of his parents and vomited blood everywhere. And so they took him to, rushed him to hospital. For 20 minutes or 30 minutes, oxygen didn't go to his brain. After a week, 1 week, qaddallahu ma sha'a fa'al, Allah took his soul. He passed away 1 week before we came. This personally affected me a lot because I knew this brother very well and we were making a lot of effort on him. But still, even with that, and we couldn't help him. We couldn't help him. It's not in our hands. Hidayah is not in our hands. Hidayah is in the hands of Allah. But we tried. Wallahi, we tried our best, and we did what we could. He's one case He is one case from thousands that are this is happening to in our countries. And it's not just there. It's all around the world. We can't procrastinate. This I will go later. I need to prepare this. I need to wait for this to happen. This sawfa, taswif they call it in Arabic. Sawfa, af'al, sawfa. My brothers, don't delay. Wallahi, if Allah has given you health, and Allah has given you an ability and mind and sanity, and you have the money to tawakkal on Allah and go. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Do not, because you don't know when your final hour is. You don't know when your time is up. And you don't know when Malik al-Maut is coming to take your soul. So do what you can before your time is up, inshaAllah. Make the niyyah. My brothers, wallahi, we need as many jama'at as we can get. All over the world. All over the world, inshaAllah.
Come, my dear brothers. Jama'at for 40 days now. Then end of the year. Mujahid, stand up, inshaAllah. Jama'at, Mujahid is Israeli naqad.
Inshallah.
One jama'at from Spingo Beach, 40 days. For Pakistan. Foreign, 40 days. What date Abbas Qasim? December, mashallah. Also from Spingo Beach? Mashallah. So two jama'ats already. Come, who else? Who else, my dear brothers? One jama'at from Shalcross, November. Alhamdulillah. So writing all this, care of Muhammad Salaji, care of Hafiz Qasim, care of Hafiz Ahmad Kadwa, care of Hafiz Zakaria, one jama'at from Palok, inshallah. Who else? One jama'at for 4 months with Zaid Qaji in January, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So how many brothers ready so far? About 10, 12. MashaAllah. 4 months in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. 12 brothers ready. Come. All those who gave their names again, inshallah, take this step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Zaid will sit with the Chama brothers, put the date down, try to see if we could coordinate the date so the Chamas can come out. Stand up and just go to one side. We go by our Haji Zaid Qaji. Sit with the brothers. The other brothers, inshallah, will sit in the halka now. The fikr for the old workers, Jor, to try to go by bus. All those that spend 4 months and 40 days, if we go by bus, we go as a big jamaat, we go with unity, then we'll spend our time together at the ijtima. So make that fikr, inshallah. And then the jamaat for 3 days, you've got this weekend and next weekend. Those masjids that didn't take out the jamaat, still try now and take out the jamaat, inshallah. Anything else? Manasad? Manasad? Also, one point is in the halkas, fikr of the to take our families to visit the families of those that are out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.